Hey, welcome to an all-star DVD commentary for episode 1F05, Bart's Inner Child. This episode was first broadcast November 11th, 1993. My name is Matt Graney.
I'm Dave Merkin, executive producer, showrunner.
This is Dan Castellaneta, playing Homer.
This is Yardley Smith, and I do Lisa.
George Meyer, I wrote the episode.
David Silverman, supervising director.
And Bob Anderson, director.
His very first show, by the way, folks.
And a fantastic job. Fantastic job, Bob.
Thank you.
Was it scary?
Yes, very.
And? Yeah. And what else?
And I lost a lot of sleep.
Okay, fill more time. Fill more time.
Hey, George, where did this episode come from?
It came from the fact that I was going through a lot of therapy at the time. And I thought that it would be a really fresh area for satire to send up these self-help gurus. Nobody had ever done it, and so I
this
just
is the off. First time in the history of all comedy, and we'll stand by that. You guys can check it out.
Oh, no, you don't. That trampoline is mine.
He's very excited about this trampoline, as I recall.
Huh? He starts to really enjoy it.
Yeah. He really likes he's getting into it. The
seltzer ain't free. I think that's a good idea for merchandising, the seltzer squirter.
You for the trampoline?
Yeah. What's the deal?
Well, I used to do a lot of tumbling in my act, but I'm phasing it out for more dirty limericks. There once was a man named Enos.
I remember one of the jokes that we had to cut for time, which was great, was when Homer's saying trampoline, trampoline, I think Lisa said, that's not a word, and Bart says, yes, it is.
You're a good dog, aren't you, boy? Aren't you?
Hi, son. Hi, son. Hmm? Hi, son.
Wow!
Whoa!
I can't believe it!
Whoa!
Dad, this one gesture almost makes up for years of shaky fathering.
Whoa!
I will never get tired of this!
I'm gonna have my wedding here!
David remembers all these things because these little jokes that we take like a couple of seconds to write and then cut, they spend days animating, days and days and days to get the people to say these things. Then we go, well, we're going to lose that.
And
this is just the beginning. Next 5 days, you'll never get back.
It takes a week for Homer to blink his eyes.
Oh, there's a week right there. Another.
This is actually one of Homer's fantasies that actually is incredibly similar to what actually happens. You know, it's like it's not really that different, you know, so it's a very, very calm fantasy in that sense. See? Look, it's all out.
It just shows you to visualize it.
Oh, that's great.
I love the way Otto breaks his back.
He clearly broke his spine, yeah. But that would just say, oh, his shoulder is slightly injured.
We were worried that character wasn't going to come back.
And they instantly get into
my arm.
What is that little kid's name? Is that
Wendell.
Lucas or
Wendell?
Wendell.
It's one of our favorite lines.
Got sick.
But he looks sick.
Yeah.
What have we done to make God angry? You did it.
You did. I like the fact that there was definitely rays from heaven raining down on them at that moment. They said that.
It's like a God walk by or cameo.
And we passed the Marge shot where it's actually the POV of Marge going back and forth, which says, yeah. I don't think this is a good idea, which
I
is
love
her.
That.
This is one of my favorite shots in the entire series, I think.
I forgot about food.
Yeah. So, and it's great music. Gone with the Wind is right
that
in there.
That took no time at all to draw, right?
Easy.
I'll get rid of the trampoline.
Did you do the layout?
Paul Wee did that layout.
Good old Paul Wee.
There's just something really moving about an entire field into infinity of hurt children.
I didn't know he had such a big backyard.
Yeah, it can grow, and sometimes the backyard is right up against the power plant. It depends.
That's right. Sometimes it's by the ocean.
That's right.
Sometimes by the mountains.
We call that flexible reality.
That's excellent.
This was a reference to the Roadrunner cartoon.
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote, right? Totally. Right.
Chuck Jones.
I don't see it.
Really, really very well drawn, too. It really captured. So you say, we're not going to do the breakoff joke, and then we do it. We can't help ourselves.
And when Homer throws the trampoline off and dusts his hands, That was a move that we always loved, him dusting his hands with satisfaction.
That's a big George Meyer staple. Whenever you see that, you know that George is enjoying that. It's all.
That's a great reveal.
Someday you'll rust! Rust, I tell you!
Dad.
And who did that one?
You really want to get rid of this?
That's Paul again.
Paula. Good old Paul Wee.
Uh-huh.
A bike lock.
This is brilliant.
Yeah.
Turn around and count to three.
This was kind of based on my junior high school, where bikes would always disappear.
Anytime you lock something up, it would be gone.
With a bolt cutter.
I got me a bed.
Quiet! Wake up, old man Simpson! Hey, no more trampoline! Let's jump on the car instead!
Mark just turns away disgruntled.
But you know what? At least I'm out there trying new things. If it were up to you, all we'd ever do is work and
this
go to church.
This is Homer's kind of mission statement.
One thing you've done in the past month.
That's one of the early times Marge is kind of nude in bed, too.
Yeah, I heard.
She's nude, but you can see there's like she's... Oh, no, she's...
You're looking very carefully.
Yeah,
aren't
you? Sure,
being nude in bed is fun, right?
I was very worried. I'm on a tight budget here. Bart, watch your language.
This was outtakes, I believe.
Yeah. And, and Marge, Marge seems to be able to read Lisa's mind here.
Are
you mad? No, I'm fine. I'm going to my sister.
When people remember bad things about me, I can generally see it, too, without being told. And see it in their face.
Hey, Dan and Yardley, are you able to forget your own voices? I mean, are you able to enjoy the story, or are you...
Oh, yeah. Forget everything.
You're caught
up? Oh, yeah.
So it's hard to even feel like, you know, it just seems like this own entity that we all just kind of put together.
It does,
we don't remember hardly anything, you know, because it's like 6 to 8 months later, so you can enjoy... I'll sometimes go, oh, why did they use that reed, you know, as opposed to the, I knew there was a better one, but.
Trust me, there wasn't.
Yeah, okay.
There was not. It's always the...
It is completely new, and it's a very, for me, I can say when I watch Lisa, she does exist separately from me, and yeah. I love her, and so when I watch her, I think, she's so cute. Oh, that's so funny. And I don't sort of feel like I had anything much to do with that. She's just like this little entity.
It's sort of like that with the writing, too, because it is so separate, because it's animated, that it takes it into a whole different world where you really feel, I feel much more separated from this than the live-action stuff that I've written. Because it does, I think because the 9 months is part of it, that it takes so long. And also because they're such a combination of everything. They're a combination of your voices and then his drawing and then someone else's. So it really is a collaboration, even almost greater than anything else in filmmaking, I think, animation. Because it takes everyone to do one little thing, you know.
No, see, the animators feel like more involved because we spend, you know, 6 months on it, so we get it's.
But
larger
I can't
part of
tell you
life.
How unimportant you are. See, that's the thing; you shouldn't feel more involved. No, it's on this show at every level, and I've said this before. We're really blessed with amazing actors who, you know, take these terrific scripts that come from these terrific writers, and they improve on them. You know, they bring them to a level greater than we can imagine all the time. With your readings, even if
that's
Dan is saying
kind.
It. Well, it's true. And then the animators, screw it all up. Anyway, no. And then the animators, the animators take it to yet another level that's beyond anything that's come before that. So it really is where live action filmmaking is almost a constantly deteriorating process.
Right.
This is actually a process that goes, it is, because you have an idea in your head. And animation is like in your head, because you can do everything that's in your head in animation. And
that's true.
Live action kind of grounds you in real life, and you get pulled back down. But here, it really keeps ascending through the process, for me, anyway. The only people that don't agree with that is the audience.
Great acting. Phil Hartman and Albert Brooks.
And Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I don't know if, is anybody, did you direct Albert Brooks?
I directed
Brooks
Albert.
Did he come in with new, because Albert Brooks is one of the few people who comes in with his own,
material.
It's so much fun to, not that it's not fun to direct you guys, but Albert is really weird.
Oh, he's great.
He is. He and almost, you know, you talk about good takes, almost every one of his takes is flawless, but each one is full of different material.
Oh.
He makes up the stuff as he goes.
Does it make it impossible to choose which take?
It takes four times as long. Like if it takes, you know, if it takes 10 hours to do a whole show, Albert adds like another 5 hours.
Because often when his jokes are totally tangential,
yeah,
and this show is so tightly written that as great as they are, you have to pick and choose, and
of course,
it's fantastic stuff. But they should be feature length movies.
And he would, and maybe we'll look for some of that stuff and try and include it on here, some of his other ad libs. What he would do is he would do a take, and then he wouldn't remember what he said. And he goes, How was that? What did I say? And I would tell him, I said, I like this, try and remember this and do this again, and then he'll come up with something new on top of that.
And do none of what you asked him to do.
Yeah, you know, actually he'll keep it, and he's very true to George's writing, which was incredibly funny to begin with, you know, and we've said this before, George is a huge contributor to the show from the very beginning all up to this moment, and I'm sure all the way to the bitter end. But we had a fantastic show.
It will be bitter.
And it will be very bitter, bitterer by the minute. You're doing super. We have a great script to begin with and a lot of great jokes, and Albert will make sure to include all the great jokes that have been written by the writer and add to it with more of his own things. Like one of the things he said, when he calls Bart up, he'll say, "See, I'm not so old-fashioned." Like so perfect. I mean, such a great character, little thing. I remember it's one of the things.
Exactly how you feel right now.
I'm annoyed with you.
Some people found this really disturbing.
Is that right?
To me, it was just a day at the office. But
this is actually a kind of based on the Fritz Perls Gestalt therapy.
Yeah,
that's true. For any students in college right now studying. We're all
trying to please. By the way, back there, I liked your exposition joke of Homer explaining where they're going and reiterating why they're there.
Yeah, we all agreed to take this seminar. Bart goes, "What an odd thing."
Bart, what? Son, that's wonderful. Come here. Come up here.
He was, of course, based on John Bradshaw, who was a popular self-help guy at the time.
Oh, yeah. Is he still around? I've been paying attention.
I think he ran off to Fiji with all of his dough.
Well, I guess it worked.
Made him successful.
Here is the inner child I've been talking about.
Like Bart's look of perflexion.
Not a perfect reading by Yardley there.
It makes me laugh.
It's really funny.
That's a very good. Fantastic. To remember that when somebody's perplexing me like that. What?
What's funny is, like, I'll be sitting, like you say, how we are disconnected with the characters. I'll be sitting there watching the show with my wife, and she'll see Homer do something. She goes, "He is such an idiot." Not realizing. I haven't yet told her that I'm Homer.
I love he's eating two candy apples there. That's something that George wrote.
Alternating so that neither will feel bad.
And if we can all be more like... it is interesting to watch Dan do the character of Homer. And I've said this, Dan really seems to go somewhere when he does Homer. You know, your eyes become very wide and big.
Yeah.
And I think that Dan, you know, he does. He kind of lets his IQ go. And sometimes comes up with fantastic ad-libs for us that could only happen if you got into this amazing state that he gets into.
It's safe because you can say whatever, usually the stupid things that occur in your head, you can actually say.
Well, was it
as Homer?
I am so smart.
Yes, that was a complete mistake. I was ad-libbing. I was right, and I went SMRT. And I realized I misspelled it, but I go, "Well, I'm stupid."
Yeah, you instantly went,
I corrected it.
But it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
George, why does Bart refer to himself as Rediger?
That's just a complete non sequitur. That's just a kid screwing around on stage and just wanting to toy with the adults, I think. And I originally wanted it to be Rudiger, but Nancy said Rediger.
Okay.
Cool too.
George has been angry and bitter, as you said, about that for 10 years.
I thought the show would have helped clear that act.
Good vibes can be traced to. We should, for the DVD, we should take out that beep. Why not? Come on.
I agree.
If you didn't just hear a bad word, there's something seriously wrong.
There was an episode written where. Was it Homer swearing a lot?
Yes.
And then was all bleeped out?
Yes.
And then
swear
to actually
jar.
Be in the recording studio and listening to Homer
saying the foulest.
The foulest. It was. It changed me. I didn't know Homer knew about that stuff.
Well, that should at least be an extra. Just a string of profanity.
I thought this Oregon joke was really well executed, just holding on him and the. Wait,
I can do this.
And it's excellent playing, too, because it's just great. A little off. It's off just enough. Yeah. You can kind of hear what it's going for. I wonder if we had to pay for that, because it's not technically the song. It's always wrong. Check into that. The change of my name.
Ah, good one, Milhouse. Anyone
else? That was a great laugh. I think that's the last time Milhouse has had any kind of success or satisfaction.
Everybody's a comedian. I'm blue.
I love the way that looks when it's a tracking shot like that.
That's good writing. I'm blue. So I'll walk over here.
Of course, Lisa's thrilled that Bart's depressed.
Of course.
Simple, Bart. You've defined yourself as a rebel, and in the absence of a repressive milieu, your societal niche has been co-opted.
Now, that's just an ad-lib by Yardley.
That is the way Yardley naturally talks.
Sure, I have a very formal repartee. What's the answer? Here's a question for you, David and Bob. How you get the script, and then you conceive the episode, and then how much does your original vision of it change when they give you the recorded voices?
We pretty much work from the recorded voices.
So you don't have much done, but you must have a concept in your head of what the episode
An idea.
Would be.
It all kind of solidifies at the same time. It all comes together.
And do you find that you guess right? I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Like, you have a vision, and then we, when you get our voices, you go, oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, or the voice, well, the...
The
give
voice
us an idea
of
where to take it from there,
right.
And whether it should be an isolated close-up or continue with a two-shot of two characters.
Certain ways that you hit an accent will suddenly say, oh, let's cut here on this accent for this close-up, or let's stay wide for this whole thing, because the reading is so funny that the staging, you start imagining the staging when we hear the voice of, like, oh, it'd be really funny to hold it out here, like the shot of Lovejoy.
That's cool. In
those colors. Yeah, you know, what happens is, obviously we read the script and then we rewrite it a few times, and then when we record it, then it takes about a week to 2 weeks to edit those performances down to a tape that goes out to the animators.
Right.
And meanwhile, they then send in, you know, their storyboards.
They send that before you give them the edited tape of voices?
Well, we get the storyboards right about the same time. Right after we send out. We get the storyboard generally after you guys get the tape, don't we?
Yes, we work from that.
Yeah, and so that's where we see a lot of the acting choices and a lot of the camera angles and stuff.
Right.
And then we'll discuss it. We might say, okay, that we might all decide that that might work better in a wide shot or a close shot, different than the storyboards. And with those notes, it all comes together. But again, our animators are so terrific. We have the best of the best that, you know, often their ideas are
exactly.
Very little to do. Yeah.
The line at the end of this became a catchphrase around the office.
It's a brilliant reading. This is actually James Brown, and he was nice enough to do this. And I love the fact that it's kind of a bad marching band that's backing him up, too. And this actually looks great. This is a really fantastic collapse that obviously many died in.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on here. This bandstand wasn't double
bolted. Hold on here.
We loved this reading of that line. This bandstand wasn't double bolted. So if somebody spilled food on themselves, we'd say, like, that sandwich wasn't double bolted. Not should
this fella to death. I had forgotten that he did the show. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's on my all-time ultimate
checklist. That was checklist. An all-time
man.
Thing. And he was the hardest working person we've ever seen on this instance, I'd say.
Oh, this must have been fun to read about in the script.
And then the animals attack.
I was always doing this to you, David. I was always saying, let's have a zoo while a train goes down a mountain full of animals. Because, you know,
it gets better.
We always were doing that.
Well, fortunately, I didn't have to deal with this one. I gave it to Bob.
You know, you're really irritating. Man, trial by fire. What a hard episode.
Oh, the best is yet to come.
Did Ishvan do a lot of these layouts?
Yes, he did.
He was very good at that. We have this guy, Ishvan, who can draw battles very well.
I like the way he still decides to hit Skinner after everyone else is bothering him. He goes to the trouble to turn all the way around to punch Skinner.
Things really degenerate quickly here.
I think Springfield is the town most likely to become a mob over the smallest reason. That certainly...
I like that Bart actually literally says eep. In here.
Done. There it goes, 5 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
Most exciting chase ever. I like the way it has to actually cut up, catch up to the people.
Very slowly getting away.
You're heading for the old mill.
No, we're not.
Well, let's go to the old mill anyway. Get some cider.
An angry mob that doesn't care, and they're just going to get
They
cider.
Have ADT as well.
Been a better role model for everyone.
That's not fair. The lesson here is that self-improvement is better left to people.
We got a lot of shows edited on the couch recapping the episode.
Can I say something critical? I hate that sailboat painting.
Oh, no, don't say that.
We couldn't think of anything to put there, remember? It was like, it was really, like, what do you
think? You know, the fact that it's so boring and average and out of a department store bad is accurate. You know? I think it's the secret.
So it's hilarious.
It's the secret of the whole show's success.
Okay.
Take that away, we're dead. We're off the air within a day.
I like how Maggie's little hairline is in the foreground. Yeah. That's it. Did you just forget to put her in the family or something?
Maggie?
Yeah.
She was already asleep.
I love the name McGonagall, by the way. George came up with that. It's the perfect sound for the detective.
I also love the way Yardley did, Dad, sit down. Just kind of patiently, wearily.
She's very patient with Homer.
Bill Hartman also on the show. Fantastic, fantastic.
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah,
always.
Always. Well, Bob, good job for the first time.
Well, yeah, not a bad first one, Bob.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That means it was a lot of work, I think.
Yeah, still laughing at it. So hey,
someday we may ask Bob to do a second one. Who knows? No idea.
This could be the year.
Still waiting.
All right.
Isn't he still working on the second one?
Yeah, he's a little late.
He's a little late.
By the way, speaking of great actors, also Marsha Wallace is Mrs. Krabappel.
Yes,
and Russi Taylor as Martin, and Pamela Hayden, of course, as Milhouse and Jimbo.
And how about 20th Television, huh?
Great acting on 20th Television.